I just realized that was the first time I've led worship on a non-communion Sunday, so I wasn't sure where to sit. Well, it's good to see you this morning. Please open your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. We're continuing our study in the Gospel of Luke. Thankful for Eugene for doing announcements and for Leonard for reading Scripture, so I can preserve my voice on these Sundays when I'm leading singing. As always, if you'd like to help lead singing, please talk to me or to Ben or to one of the elders. Please do. We'd love to get you plugged in to help with that. Well, we have a parable of the Lord here concerning prayer. And this is one of the easier parables, I think, to at least glean some applications from. If you just read chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, by themselves, and you apply this to your prayer life of persistence and of trusting that God will answer and not counting his delay in answer as the fact that he doesn't care about you, you would have some good applications for what this verse is talking about, these verses are talking about. But the specific, particular intention of this parable is unique and specific to the context that I want us to first glorify God in, and then we can also see the helpful applications to prayer in general. The purpose of this parable, we see in verse 1 here, Jesus was telling them a parable, speaking to the disciples, that at all times they have to pray and not lose heart. This is, again, a particular parable in a particular setting. And what I want us to see, at least right off the bat here, is that this parable is in the context of and speaking directly to the disciples' longing for the second coming of Christ. I say that in verse 8, Jesus ties it again back here to the second coming. He says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? It's the very end of the parable as he's wrapping up the conclusion, so he's bringing in the application here. He brings back to mind the coming of Christ, the coming of the Son of Man, the fulfillment of the promises. This should not surprise us because last 2 weeks we looked at Jesus predicting, talking about the day of the Son of Man, the day when all the hopes of Israel, their eschatological hopes, were based on. They wanted the kingdom to come. They wanted the king to rule. They wanted him to bring in righteousness and goodness and blessing for the people, to subdue, to put down, and to judge the enemies of Israel. This was the hope. We talked a lot about that. But as Jesus opened up that teaching, he says in verse 22 of chapter 17, he says this, "The days will come," speaking to disciples, "when you long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it." So his teaching on this, the coming days of the Son of Man was built, first of all, on this fact that disciples would long to see even one of those days. They would long to see the fulfillment, but they wouldn't see it. He then encourages them, don't be led astray by people who say, oh, he's over there, or he's over here, or you might have missed his coming. Don't worry about that. You won't miss it. But then he goes on to talk about the days of the Son of Man and what the people will be like and the judgment that will accompany it. But built into that is this longing of the disciples for the coming of the Son of Man, for the days of the kingdom. And that is the context. Prayers for that to come, for the kingdom of God to come, that Jesus is speaking this parable. What's one of the first prayers you may have learned as a child? If you grew up in more liturgical churches, you may have learned the Lord's Prayer in a particular translation, the King James, likely. What is one of the first statements of the Lord's Prayer? Your kingdom come, your will be done. This is a prayer that Jesus was teaching the disciples. That one of the facets of a prayer, the Christian's prayer, is to pray that God's kingdom would come. And by that he would complete all things he's promised. And as we pray that, if you pray that regularly, every day you're aware that that has not yet come to be. that the world still is full of wickedness. The world still is full of injustice. All kinds of the results of sin. And even the best rulers and judges that we have are in no way comparing to Jesus, God Himself, who will be the righteous judge, the righteous ruler. We are ever more aware of that. And so, as we, as Christians and as the disciples first, we're looking for this, there is this timing that we will long to see this and be sad that it's not happening, longing for it, and potentially wondering, has he forgotten? Did I miss it? So this parable here that Jesus tells is to show the disciples that they ought to pray at all times and not lose heart, to not become discouraged. So again, the primary purpose here is specifically to encourage the disciples, I think us by extension as well, to not lose heart at the delayed fulfillment of the kingdom. And he tells a story, tells a parable, to bring that point home. In a certain city, there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city. She kept coming to him saying, "Give me legal protection from my opponent." For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, "Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out." This is the parable. Let me just begin here by understanding the stage here. Wicked judges were a plague on the nation that they often had to endure. And this judge was the epitome of wickedness of a judge in Israel. Now let me just step back for a moment. The two great commandments that summarize the entire law and the prophets we find in the Old Testament. First, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and with all your might." This is the first and greatest commandment. When Jesus was asked, he quoted this one, and then he'd go on to say, quoting a verse from Leviticus chapter 19, "The second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Or as Leviticus says, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Upon these two commands hung all the law and the prophets. In other words, to be any kind of righteous judge, be any kind of righteous individual, faithful, loving, believing individual, you would be concerned with these two things. Notice what the Lord says concerning the judge, and out of the words of the mouth of the judge himself in the parable, what he says about himself. It says, "He does not fear God nor respect man." This is a judge who defiantly, distinctly, and intentionally has no regard for God or man. He is not beholden to the first or the second great commandments. This is a wicked judge.